Heavenly Father, I thank you for today, and I thank you for your love and your grace and your peace and your life that you have given us so freely. And I thank you for your word, your scripture, your word proclaimed. God, I just thank you so much for giving us this this book of books and letters that just lead us, that you speak into and speak through by your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we just praise you, and we just are so grateful that you not only gave us that, but you gave us your Holy Spirit, that your Spirit is in us and rests upon us, and that you are very present now in this place. And so, Lord, we pray, come Holy Spirit, and fill us, so that we might overflow for you, that we might reflect the love of your Son, Jesus, in the world around us. And we also pray that you would use me to speak a word that just would speak to us, whatever that is today. I won't just say a word of hope or a word of whatever, but whatever you need to say to those of us who have gathered here around your scriptures, that you would just use me, Lord. I submit to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. When I said I submit to you, and I just felt like this presence, and that was... It's always exciting and scary at the same time when the Holy Spirit does that. So, we're in our second week of For the Love of God, sermon series working through 1 John. And I was thinking, as I was thinking about love, and obviously for the children, thinking about a parent's love for their child. There are some here who are new parents and some who are older parents, some who have never been parents but have loved a child just like a parent loves a child. And so we all can relate, or I think all of us have been children too, right? That would be weird if we haven't, so we'll just move on. But when you think about that, when I thought about it, there are times when God's love, like a good parent's love for their child, just kind of pours out into the child. Sometimes that pouring out of love looks like affirmation, right? It looks like reassurance. It looks like empowerment for the child. Like when a parent says to their child two simple words, good job, or I'm proud of you. But in other times, the love of a parent for their child might be expressed in holding them accountable too, right? Holding them accountable for their actions because the parent knows all the good and all the potential that that child is capable of. There are times when one of my children, there's no one behind me today, so I don't have to look back there. When one of my children does something wrong. I know that shocks you, that they would do something wrong. Maybe they hurt someone, or maybe they lie, or they take something from one of their siblings and then they try to hide it from us and from them. And there are times where I'll be honest too, where I just respond in anger, right? Yelling, and I always hate yelling. That may surprise you too. And yet there are many more times when I use that line that crushes children everywhere, especially good children everywhere. I'm disappointed in you. Do you know that line? That line and the variations of it, like so disappointed in you. It's cutting, isn't it? It's simple in saying it, but it's the worst when you hear it. And I find that, yes, I may yell at my children, I may reprimand them for things that they shouldn't do, but it's the actions that hurt me the most that I want to say that. That I just want to say, that I'm disappointed in them. And I do that not to make them feel guilty necessarily, although it does do that, but because I want them to remember who they are. I want them to remember who they are and what is expected of them because of who they are. In today's passage, John reminds these Christians of who they are. And in chapter 2, which we largely skipped over because of the way the lectionary puts it, and kind of jump from verse 1 and 2 in chapter 2 to chapter 3, verse 1, because of the lectionary, we see that John talks about how we should not love the world, and really love the world, and maybe some of the reasons why a conflict has started in this church. Warnings against denying the Son, and sin. He goes into sin. And so we pick up in the beginning of chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, and next week we'll go over the rest of chapter 3. But we're just looking at these seven verses to see how John reminds his church. And that's what he's doing here. He's reminding them, as he's a spiritual father to them, his spiritual children, of who they are. He's reminding them of who they are. That they're children of God because of Jesus. If they're in Christ, they are children of God. He's helping them to remember that they're better than their actions or what has been said in their community. They're better than that. They're children of God. And so he's reminding them that here. They aren't just Gentiles or Jews anymore because they've put their trust in Christ. And since they've believed in him, which means that they've trusted in him, they've witnessed to the fruit of the Spirit, they can know that they are children of God. And one of the things that comes up in this passage is really talking about sin that I think we can't skip over because it's kind of difficult to skip over that. It says in beginning in verse 4, everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness, but you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sin, he being Christ. And in him is no sin, and no one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or know him. Now, that's kind of scary if you really read that, right? Because who here has just done something wrong this morning since we've been here? You don't have to raise your hand unless you want to confess something. But right, yeah. We all have, in some way, maybe. If not since this morning, since yesterday, surely, right? And so what does he mean here? He's saying that he's not saying that you're not going to sin again. He's not saying that if you're in Christ. He's saying that those who mess up, those who confess and seek to follow the commandments of Christ, submitting to Jesus by following what he says, the greatest commandments, to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself, those people, they don't keep sinning in the same way, right? He's talking about continuing to sin in the same way. So he's not saying that you're not going to mess up. He's saying that if that thing, whatever that is, you know, we can list a whole host of them here in our society. What are some sins of society that we fall into? Murder, okay. Hopefully we're not... What's that? Robbery, adultery. What's that?
Jealousy.
Yeah. Gossip. Yeah. That's not a big one in the church, is it? No. Gluttony. That's another one in the church that we're just like, ah, it's okay. Right? But it's not. But anyway, the point is that any of these sins, lust, sexual, you know, sexual temptations that we give into, those are all sin, right? But he's saying, John is saying, that those things, you don't have to keep falling into them, and you shouldn't if you're in Christ. Like, you may slip up, yeah, but you shouldn't live there. That shouldn't be the thing. Why? Not because of your strength, because you're weak, you're powerless, you have nothing. You can't fight that. But he's saying, because you are in Christ, because you are in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit who rests upon you, who guides your footsteps, and who gives you the power to fight those things, to fight that sin. And so if you're in Christ, and this is what he's talking about, no one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or know him. If you keep falling into those traps, you better repent. You better say you're sorry. You better turn towards God. Because then you got to question, what is your standing? You know, we're saved by God's grace, but if we keep falling into the same sins, God wants to give us the power as children, as we'll see, children of God, to know who we are, to know our name, to know that we are his children. And he gives us the gift to fight those things, to not fall into those same sins. And so John writes to this community, which is a facing schism and trauma, because some are claiming that Christ is not human and actually only appeared human, and a host of other issues that were causing division there. John is saying to them, you know, don't keep falling into sin, but also he's saying to them, like a good parent, that in this place where they need to hear it, he's saying, I'm disappointed in you. Reminding them, you're better than this. He's saying, I taught you these ways. Remember looking at, you know, chapter 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, verse 1, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at. I've taught you all these things that I have experienced, and you can experience them too. He's saying, all of these things I've taught to you, so why are you turning from them? Why are you going your own way? I've shown you the light and the darkness of the world. Why are you trying to go back to the darkness? And so they knew these things, but some of them were falling away to false teachers. They're doing things that aren't right, but are being told that they're okay and doing those things and proclaiming teachings that are just flat out false. Saying that Jesus wasn't human is flat out false. Saying that he was solely God is flat out false. We know that Jesus was fully God and fully human. One person. Remember that quote from, I think, that I've used a billion times. Only that which is assumed, humanity, can be saved. So Jesus had to assume humanity. The Son of God had to assume humanity in Jesus to save humanity from sin. And so John is saying to this community of believers whom he loves dearly, he's saying, you're better than this. He's saying, verse 1, see what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. That's not, he doesn't say, that's what I am. He says, that's what we are. We are children of God. And so, again, we come to this place where I think we need to do this more often. We live in this society that says, we're going here, we're going there, we're going there, we're going. You know, yesterday I had baseball practice in the morning, softball practice in the afternoon. I had, you know, pictures for baseball in the afternoon. Like, I'm just like, you know, we're always just running, whether we have practices or not, or whether we have this thing or that thing going on, we're always running. And so this week, I think it's a time to call us to contemplate really how we're living. Maybe about how you speak, about what you're doing, or not doing, for that matter. Perhaps you're doing some things that aren't quite right, or you feel sometimes that your actions and your decisions actually hurt others, but your friends are telling you that that's okay. The world is telling you that's fine, don't worry about it. But to remind you again that if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. The Spirit of God rests upon you and is in you. The Spirit convicts us of our sin, but he doesn't condemn us of it. He calls us to repent. And then if we repent, we're forgiven. And then if we're forgiven, we're in right standing with God, all by God's grace. And then we shouldn't keep falling into that sin anymore. and then we're called to do what is good. And what is that? To do what Christ would call us to do. Because if you're a Christian, then that's what you're called to do, not what you want to do always. That's a hard word for us. Not what your friends want to do always, not what the world wants to do, but what Jesus would want you to do, what he commands us to do. And that's to love God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul and all of your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's what it's about. We're called to reflect his light in the world, and we do that by living out these commandments that Jesus gave us. To live by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by your own power. Like I said, you're going to fall on your face every time if you try to do the things that Jesus tells you to do by yourself. You're not going to be able to forgive. You're not going to be able to stop sinning. You're not going to be able to do those things. But if you ask God for help, he will give you that help in the Holy Spirit. It's key. It's key. Because you're better than that. You have the Spirit of God in you. And you're better than whatever your sin is. So there are times when my father would remind me of who I am, of my name. And so now I have my sons and my son and daughters to do that too. Because we all have to be reminded of who we are sometimes. We forget, don't we? I tell Sam or Ava when they fall short that they are Dembecks. Seriously. That they're Dembecks, and what they do reflects upon me. I tell them that they're better than those times when they fall short. You're better than those times when you fall short. When you hurt others, when you don't love your brothers or your sisters. And so John is doing the same thing to this community. He's doing the same thing to us today. He's reminding us of who we are. We're better than whatever our sin is. That we're not only Dembecks or Smiths or whatever our last name is, but that we're actually something much better than that. That if we are in Christ, then we are children of God. And the Father loves us so much to call us into this relationship, to set things right by sending his one and only Son so that we would have life eternal and life now and power to do what he calls us to do. And all of this comes through following Jesus, reflecting him and his by living his commandments to love God and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And so I just end with this. Because I think it's so key. Whatever you've done, whatever you want to do, whatever you're going to do as soon as you leave here today, or that your mind is telling you to do it, and you know it's not right, you're better than that. You're better than that. You're better than the gossip. You're better than the lust. You're better than the lies. You're better than all of those things that Satan would try to draw you into when you leave these doors. You're better than those things. And he is the enemy. You're better than that. The Father loves you so much that once you've accepted that love, that once you've received Christ into your heart, that you have a power to defeat those things, not of yourself, but of God. You're a child of God if you've accepted Christ. And so I pray that you would live into that love by remembering your name. Christian. Christian. Follower of Christ. Amen.